prelude. At the end of a long room filled with whispers and handshakes sits a man fondling a small dark object. The ancient wooden benches along the room's perimeter are full, mostly of women and children, leaving the men to mingle. The man sits firmly, offering avoiding eye contact, which could be misinterpreted as an offer of his seat. He clutches the object nervously. Through a forest of arms, legs, and coattails, a small child wanders towards the man, drawn by curiosity and free of her unattentive mother's eye.
"What you got there, mister?"
queries the girl. He pauses for a moment, considering plots which might have employed this child as a spy, paid in food to inquire. Exhausted and drawn to the child's innocence, the walls of secrecy melt for a moment.
"This, my darling, is a device. A device many men and many women have died to see, to understand, and to own. In many ways, it is like one of your toys, but a toy for adults. This, darling, is the Zyborn clock."
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for an awesome movie based on a humble idea, or perhaps not even a humble idea, perhaps based on the greatest idea the internet has ever known. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
I am Dirk McLaurin, and for me, on Wednesday, January 19th, 2381, this podcast has begun very poorly. I'm Will Campos. You'll get that reference in a second, folks.
I'm Matt, Jack of Fives, and I'm a writer and director. That's my name.
Okay, so what we have here today is a little bit of obscure...
I'm very excited about today.
Fairly obscure internet history. People who are like, you know, weird internet ephemera hounds will know what we're talking about for. But I assume many of you have no idea and have never heard of.
I mean, I didn't know until a couple days ago.
And Matt is a fairly nerdy dude, and he hangs with two unbelievably nerdy bros.
This is all just proof to me that Matt doesn't listen to a fucking thing we say, because we've been referencing the Zyborn clock in Matt's presence for years.
But you buried the lead. You just say the Zyborn clock. I'm just like, okay, it's probably some like Twilight Star Trek thing. But like, just a couple days ago, you guys finally truly showed me,
Freddie,
the glory.
So why don't you, for the darlings at home, tell them about this game, a game many have longed to possess.
So the Zyborn clock started off as a Something Awful forums post. And weird as it is, actually, one of the first things that Will and I bonded over when we first met was that we were Awful Forums goons, as they were called. And the Awful Forums is an interesting place. It is a place where a lot of weird stuff on the internet sort of was born pre-Reddit and pre-4chan actually was an offshoot of that. Mm-hmm. It's a complicated place because it's also kind of a shitty place. And there's shitty people there, but it's undeniable that it had a big influence on 90s and early 2000s internet culture. All your base, all that stuff originated on the Something Awful forums. The Zyborn clock was something like that as well. Started off as a post, and it was a guy who was like, I want to make a steampunk RPG. And this guy had zero gaming experience. And he had recruited a couple of artists, and he made this post that, as a result of it, the game never got made. But it really just ignited the imaginations of everyone looking at this post. And it began to basically just get ruthlessly made fun of for 2 years as a result of this. And part of the reason why is it really is kind of the perfect embodiment of somebody who like thinks their ideas are cool, interesting, original, and stuff like that. But it's like, well, no, this is kind of like well-trod territory. Again, which is fine for people who are creative. But like, it was the combination of the hubris of being like, we're gonna make this game awesome, it's only gonna take a year to make, which and everyone's like, but you guys have no experience making video games. So that sort of hubris combined with just how ridiculous this the art and the writing excerpts from.
Yeah, the best I could say of it is that I think, or if I were to try to like give a comparison, it's like the Room or the Troll 2, the Plan 9 from Outer Space of unmade video games.
Yeah, I think the difference comparison. Is they didn't make it. I'd never heard of Zyborn Clock, but I've seen, you know, I was on IGN forums and game FAQs and stuff, and this sort of thread was not uncommon in the early 2000s. Hey, I have a great idea for a video game. Here's the story and art, and I'm a writer and really creative. All I need is like a bunch of programmers and artists to do everything for me. Anybody here can do that
for free.
But this is definitely the best version I've ever seen of that, because I think there is, do you know what it is that there's so little detail, and throughout this podcast we'll probably essentially hit on everything that was actually written, because there's not very much, but the little nuggets that are presented provide such a just an open window to a world that you wish you could see.
It's kind of like a Jodorowsky's Dune in a way, right, where you just see these tantalizing pictures and you're like, what was that, what was this thing? So today we descend into internet archaeology ruins to recreate the Zyborn Klok film. We're entering another timeline, if you will, where Zyborn Klok came out and was a smash hit video game that, of course, got a movie adaptation.
So what you heard at the beginning was the prelude, which was written for the game. I won't read the rest of it, but just what happens at the end of that is that the little girl, of course, is some sort of robotic assassin and calls to Dietris, Orange Fox to Dietris, saying that they have indeed found the golden egg. So one of the pieces of lore in this game that we know about is there's this thing called the Zyborn Klok, which is also called the golden egg. And then eventually we find out that the Zyborn Klok, I believe, allows for time travel.
The best thing about that, by the way, is that he totally, he pauses for a moment, considering which plots might have employed the child as a spy. It's like, even he couldn't foresee that this child was no mere spy, but in fact, a robot.
Yeah.
But it's a steampunk universe. Let's dive into it. One of the things that, the two things that we absolutely must bring up here, first and foremost, is the four balls on the edge of the cliff, which is like kind of maybe of anything from the Zyborn Klok that survived and that you may know a reference to, it was the time travel analogy using four balls on the edge of a cliff, to the point where it was even parodied in one of the Fallout games.
Yeah.
You literally find a dead
the four
character,
balls.
The four
yeah.
balls. And then let's talk about Johnny Five Aces here.
Okay. So yeah, just an overview. So basically the Zyborn Klok, the idea was it was a steampunk RPG. It's set in a steampunk city and it involves a chase for this MacGuffin, the Zyborn Klok, which is some sort of time travel device that I think the idea is that it's going to reset the evolution of humanity so that we like become super advanced, but then like we'll all get erased, but humanity will be better or something
yeah.
like that. It's something, it's very complicated. But so this is the sort of like, I'll take a run at this one. This is the game's central thesis as to how time travel works. So close
oh
your eyes
God,
and go on a journey
so
with me.
Good.
We theorize that when you send an object through time, it does not create a new timeline that overrides the current like we had originally thought. When the object enters the time stream, time begins to correct itself. Let me use this example. Imagine four balls on the edge of a cliff. Say a direct copy of the ball nearest the cliff is sent to the back of the line of the balls and takes the place of the first ball. The formerly first ball becomes the second becomes the third, and the fourth falls off the cliff. Time works the same way.
It gets me every time.
Okay.
It gets me every time.
It is just,
very good.
It is maybe the least helpful metaphor I've ever heard in my life to describe anything.
It's like, what's the cliff? What's the
I
four
don't
balls?
Understand.
Why four balls? It's so good.
I have spent years trying to understand. It's like the three seashells from Demolition
Man. It really
Man.
Is. It really is.
I've spent years trying to understand the four balls, and I'm no closer to getting it.
So
let's talk about Johnny.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is what got me most excited when you guys showed me this, is there are two characters that art was done by this unknown Something Awful Forums user. The first of which I think is our hero is Johnny Five Aces, which is maybe the greatest name of any character ever. But we will put this picture up on our Facebook or Instagram, or you should search it because it is truly incredible. But it is a rather odd looking fellow sitting in a chair with his leg up on a table, very awkwardly, with a big old bulge in his pants, holding the fifth ace. There's four aces on the table. He's holding the fifth ace, but he's holding it in such a way that he is also giving you the middle finger while smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. It is so much attitude.
And he has a scarf.
And then there is, I believe, a sidekick who is like a one-eyed cyborg steampunk gentleman with one of those old-fashioned cameras strapped to his back, but like one of those cameras that also has like a tripod attached to it, so it's almost like having a bazooka strapped to his back. And that's kind of all there is in this entire world.
And now you know everything we know about Zyborn Klok.
Matt name.
Oh, his name is Schultz, which is an incredibly good name for a sidekick. It's like the perfect screaming name. Schultz!
S-C-H-O-L-T-Z, which anybody who has... Which I only took a little bit of German in high school, but... O is not the right letter for that.
Yes, you're right. The misspelled German is definitely the thing that leaps out at you. And so I want to say about Johnny Five Aces, that Johnny Five Aces...
The biggest badass has ever lived.
He represents one of my favorite tropes, which is Han Solo ripoffs.
Yeah.
Like there's so many movies and video games, they have their Han Solo character. And then like this especially, like it's also like it. I think, and again, part of what is really fun about Zyborn Clock, and I think one of the reasons that people get obsessed with it, because to Matt's point, there's lots of video game shovelware that never went anywhere. They're over the images. But
yeah, most, and to be clear, most of these forum posts that you ever see that are like, I made the game, it's people being like, you have no game design experience, and then it just peters off and dies. And nothing has had the life that this
so
has had.
It is like this window into like when I was like 12 and like I would just have these fever dreams of these video games that would be so cool if only I could make them, right? And then this was like, so it's kind of like a window back in time, and Johnny is like the perfect avatar for like the id of a 12-year-old boy. Like, he's cool, he's flipping you off, he's smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer.
He doesn't give a fuck. The reason I love Johnny Five Aces, I think Freddie and Will have heard me say this 1,000 times since they showed me this, but like, Five Aces is so good because he's just telling you he's cheating. It's not like Johnny 21 or Johnny, you know, Blackjack or like Johnny, like
Johnny,
you know, All In, where it's like, oh, this guy's a gambler, he might be cheating, but he knows. He's like, I'm cheating, I'm fucking up, I don't give a fuck.
It is.
Here's my bulge in my pants, here's my cigarette, I'm cheating.
Yeah, he is spread out. He is, as seated, his like legs are fully spread out.
He's
so you can
showing
see
the fifth ace. It's not like he's got it in his sleeve ready to win. It's four aces on the table that he flicks you off with the fifth ace. It's what Han Solo wishes he was. Like, he's so badass. It's so good.
Oh my God.
Johnny Five Aces is definitely our hero, right?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Dirk McLaurin, who's the person you heard at the beginning, who has the Zyborn clock, is like the Princess Leia or the MacGuffin. Yeah. Like, he's the person who has...
Previously on Zyborn clock. So just to take inventory of the characters, there's Johnny Five Aces, there's Schultz, who I imagine is like, I think these two are like a Don Quixote Sancho Panza type team up, where it's like there's like Schultz is like the chronicler of Johnny Five Aces extravagant adventures, right? Maybe Schultz takes pictures for like a dime store magazine or something like that.
Ooh, I like that.
A steampunk dime store, a dime steam magazine. And then you've got Dirk McLaurin, who's got the clock in 2381.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, got some intrigue going on with it. And then you've got Dr. Zyborn, the creator of the clock, who I believe is the person mentioned in the section on time, which is the time works the same way. And he's the one who comes up with the idea of sending the Zyborn clock back in time. I think if I were to try to... if we will reassemble what I think they're going for here, is that I think they're trying to come up with a plausible way that like a steampunk universe would be real. Because I think the idea is, because they mentioned there's multiple timelines, right?
Yeah.
And so then basically in this big part where Dr. Zyborn is talking, he talks about how like he was reading a science magazine article about like evolution and like how time, you know, people had evolved and it took like so many millennia. And then his thing is, he's like, if we could subtly alter the cycle at which the planet terraforms and speed up human evolution, we could make humanity advance past wars in a few millennia's time. So I think the idea is he sent this back in time, and then maybe the Zyborn clock is what's causing this steampunk universe.
I was about to say, I feel like it's one of those things where they're like, let's go back in time and see if we can accelerate humanity, not realizing that the steampunk universe is already, like, they've already done this once before. Right, it'd be like the primer type thing where they're like, "We gotta go back and die." Like,
well,
Matt. Like, well, we
don't forget the but the ball. Just... the ball replaces.
Yes, I think our universe's ball fell off the cliff.
Yeah.
And the steampunk universe is ball number one now.
It's a new.
But what they're gonna do is they're gonna go back in time to accelerate the. And they're like, "How many times have we used the Zyborn clock?" How much,
oh, like as a
like the very first
midpoint reveal.
Yes, like the very first version of this world. Humans didn't show up until like 400,000 AD, which is still after Jesus Christ's birth, of course. Humans showed up 4,000 years after the birth of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Factoring Jesus's role in the script a little later on. I think this feels like a good time to bring up maybe the only hint of a villain in the story, who is of course Silas. So Silas is the fourth character that gets mentioned in two pieces of ephemera. So one is the timeline map, And we'll post all this stuff on the Twitter so you can play along at home.
Can I throw an idea out for the villain?
Okay.
Here's what I think the background could be. I think Dirk McLaurin could be one of the Zyborn associates that didn't believe in this, but then he saw what Zyborn was making and it was too dangerous, so he stole it from the lab, which is why he's on the run. This has in the first place.
Well, but
Silas is Zyborn. You do that. Zyborn wants his creation back. He created it and he found out how it's gonna go. So Zyborn is hunting down his clock.
Okay.
And that's why he has access to all these robot kids.
Yeah, because he's a super scientist.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get into
a little Dr. Wily thing going.
Yeah. So to talk a little bit about Silas, maybe Zyborn, there's one sequence. We know that he has a brass knuckle that shoots lasers out of it that can disintegrate doors.
Yeah, that's all we know.
That's pretty much all we know, and that he doesn't like stealth. He likes going in.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's a little bit of, like, I guess the steampunk version of the classic scene in every cop movie where the one cop wants to pick the lock and then the rogue hothead cop kicks the door down instead. So they do that, but it's Silas and he zaps the door with his brass knuckles.
Yeah, and to be clear, what Will just explained is all there is about Silas, including who he is, or like that's all there is. There's just a random scene of Silas opening a door. So we don't even know if he's really the villain. But
we do know this. So there's also a timeline map.
Yes.
There. So there are, according to the Zyborn clock lore, it goes like this. And bear with me because I'm going to have to describe this. And again, we'll have the pictures online. We start with timeline one. And in timeline one, the Zyborn clock is made and sent back in time.
Yes.
When it sends back in time, it goes over to timeline two. Right, that starts with where the clock is sent back in time to. And in timeline two, Silas destroys the clock. And then, but in timeline two, when he destroys the clock, there's also a cryptic message to girl. That's all we know.
Yeah.
Message to girl is sent to timeline three. And then in timeline three, the clock is not destroyed.
So yes. Clearly the message to girl stops Silas.
Time works the same way.
I think we should, let's get going.
Yeah.
How do we get Johnny on the adventure?
So,
I mean, does he even give a shit about adventure? Look at this guy.
Yes, that's all he cares about.
So Johnny, look, it's a hero's journey, right? Yeah. Johnny is he's a cheat. And, you know, time travel's kind of like cheating if you think about it. You're cheating the laws of physics.
The ultimate cheat.
It's the ultimate fuck. Yeah. It is the fifth ace. a fifth ace is a paradox in a deck of cards that shouldn't exist, right? It is an error in the continuity.
You know, you stumbled upon a brilliant metaphor. Because the fifth ace should be displacing the other four aces.
Holy shit, guys. I know the moment. All I know is this moment. Silas, which, by the way, I'm going to pitch that Silas is Zyborn. But Zyborn is actually Zyborn from timeline one, and Silas is Zyborn from timeline two. But here's the thing. And Zyborn...
That's pretty good.
Holy shit.
Pretty good.
Matt, you're on a roll. Keep going. Just get out of his way, Freddy.
Wait, this is the real scene, though. It's Silas destroys the clock and all is lost. And then what's the message to the girl? The message to the girl is Johnny Five Aces holds up his ace and he's got a message on it. He goes, "You forgot one thing. There's always a fifth ace." And he throws his fifth ace into the portal right before it closes.
Oh my God.
That's why Johnny always has his fifth ace. So in timeline three, Johnny Five Aces, his fifth ace is the message.
No, timeline three, it's Johnny Four Aces.
Oh, you got Johnny Four Aces.
Because the extra ace, that's what it is. He's always Johnny Four Aces. But by the time, but he uses that fourth ace of spades.
Yes, when he holds up, he goes, "There's always a fifth ace," and you think he's going to throw in the timeline, but he realizes this has already happened. And in timeline one, Johnny Four Aces threw an ace into the portal, and he's had the message all along. And we're actually in timeline three. And the message on the fifth
Holy
ace.
What the fuck are you talking about?
And the message on the fifth ace he always has in his pocket, there's a message hidden on it. And he realizes what it is, and then that's how they save the Zyborn clock.
It
has to be a message to girl. It has to be a message to
message
girl.
Message to
yes,
girl.
Like that.
Well, they have a girl with them on the adventure. Yeah, She's the one who notices. She's like, "Let me see that fifth ace." And she flips it around, and, like, you know, she has that, like.
Yeah, he's only looked at the
beautiful
back.
Beautiful mind thing, like, "Whoa!" She realizes what it is.
Is that the sound of the beautiful mind? Was that Ron Howard's beautiful mind? Can you just do that sound one more time for me?
All right, I love all of that.
And by the way, this takes place in my head. What this whole scene, as we described, definitely takes place on a steampunk zeppelin.
We do have to say this. There's this incredible picture, which
I think it's fan art.
I think it's fan art, but I think it's a reference. Whatever.
We can reference the fan art.
It's canon at this point. It is. There's a picture of Johnny Five Aces and Schultz jumping out of an exploding Zeppelin, and Johnny Five Aces is, of course, still holding his fifth ace with a middle finger.
And smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer. Out of a mug.
Out of a mug. And Schultz is just behind him with the camera taking pictures as they're falling through the sky. So, yes, I definitely feel like this is near the finale, if not essentially the finale. Do you know what it is? This is his sacrificial moment because they got no parachutes.
They don't have parachutes, right.
This is when Johnny Five Aces finally makes the fall, finally decides to do something for everybody else.
He
lays down that fifth ace.
His life. Okay, I'm very in.
He's the fifth ace.
The fifth ace is love.
If the fifth ace is a message, he's got to get the fifth ace into the portal to go back in time. But there's no way you can just throw a fifth ace out of a Zeppelin and guarantee that it's going to go in the portal. So he's got to go down.
He's got to flip off time itself.
Flipping off time itself. He's like, ah! He's got his fifth ace. He fucking hits the portal just before it closes. Kind of like the end of Crimson
what?
Peak?
Pacific Rim?
Pacific Rim. Tide. Crimson Tide Peak Rim.
And by the way, look, based on this picture, he has the Zyborn clock with him. Look.
Oh, yeah. He's got the golden. All right. We're going to have to deal with that later. I don't know how that works.
No, he's got to get the. Okay, well, we'll figure that out.
All right.
Okay. Let's stick with one timeline right now.
First and foremost, I want to say this. I think that this movie definitely starts with like a James Bond-esque action sequence that introduces you to our main guy and just gets us into it. Because I feel like the time travel intrigue and all that stuff should happen. Like, that's your after your sexy steampunk credit sequence. That's your guy sitting in it.
I mean, you start with that prelude.
Yeah,
You start with the MacGuffin.
He did the work for us.
He started with a brilliant opening sequence. And it's... This stays not starting right, and then you go in the title sequence, and then you introduce Johnny
Then you
Five
cut
Aces.
Into a bar. Yeah. A steamy steampunk bar.
Okay, how do you feel about this? Okay, ready? So a steampunk bar goes, and it's like you got the robot that's playing like steamy ragtime tunes, and you're wandering, the camera's meandering through, and you're seeing the whole group of people, and we settle on the corner, and it's Johnny Five Aces, and he's in the middle of a poker game, et cetera, et cetera. All this stuff goes. He wins this golden egg in this poker game, and then you reveal that this steampunk bar, which you thought was on the ground, is actually 20,000 feet in the air. It's a Zeppelin steampunk, and this picture then is Johnny Five Aces,
and it's called the Led Zeppelin.
And this picture is Johnny Five Aces' post-poker game, which he's cheated his way to win. He's won the Zyborn clock. He's coming out, and Schultz, his trusty companion, is taking pictures of him as he plummets to Earth.
This is not the beginning, though.
This feels like... No, I'm just saying that this picture feels like the beginning, because the first picture we have...
Oh, I see what Freddie's saying, because what Freddie's saying is this, is that, like, Johnny Five Aces is in this poker game, right? And the guy he's about who's losing his shirt to Johnny Five Aces goes all in with the last thing he owns, this weird clock
egg thing he found.
And then Johnny winds up with it, and he's just trying to figure out how to sell it, right? And like that's like the...
Okay, I don't mean to... I'm just trying to understand. At the beginning of the only piece of actual lore, Dirk McLaren has the Zyborn clock, which is the golden egg.
Dirk is dead. Dirk gets killed in that first thing. There's no way he gets away from the
Here's what I would
but
say.
But then that should be the intro. It feels like...
But here's what I'm saying. Because Freddie's trying to describe here in his clumsy Freddie-like way is your opening sequence is Dirk McLaurin in the future. And I would say, let's make this like a cyberpunk future just to delineate timeline one from timeline two, right?
Yeah.
So Dirk McLaurin has the Zyborn clock. And then the little girl turns into a robot, and then he's running through the streets in a foot chase, and then he sends the Zyborn clock back in time.
Can I ask why we're getting rid of Dirk McLaren?
I just felt like...
Because he only shows up once in this intro. He's
but
in a
no, 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 but
Johnny,
I see what...
Johnny Five Aces only shows up once, and only in a
but
picture.
But there's no fan art.
So, no, what I'm saying, it's like, if Dirk McLaren feels like R2-D2, like he feels like he comes in, like he is going to be the thing that gets... and I'm not even saying he doesn't need to die, but it feels like it's like if this was like a Hitchcock movie, it'd be Dirk McLaren bumps into the last person he probably should have, into Johnny Five Aces, and slips the clock in his pocket and goes, save the world, and dies. And Johnny Five is like, what's this dumb thing? And then over time, instead of just like selling it or using it for his own personal gain, he's going to realize what he has
or whatever. Right.
Okay.
But it feels like you have this great prelude that sets up like this MacGuffin, and then you cut to Ray, and then she's... doing whatever the fuck she's doing on her planet.
It's and like a...
The adventure comes to them.
Could be like a Maltese Falcon type thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
where it's like all the different part. It's like a... It's a steampunk time-traveled noir.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
like
yeah.
Looper.
Johnny Five Aces is definitely one of those guys that when they're like, come on, Johnny, you gotta do this. He's like, I've never thought about the past or the future. I only thought about the now. But I guess now I gotta think about
the past,
the future,
and the future
in order to save the past.
Holy shit. That's his monologue for sure.
Oh my God.
I
gotta think about the future in order to save the past.
My thought of introducing Johnny Five Aces is that you come in and it's definitely a bunch of robots, and they're like, you know, they like have perfectly analyzed how to play poker.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
we have a 1.3% chance of winning this.
And then Johnny Five Aces goes all in, and the robot just starts taking all the money. He's like, hey, what do you think you're doing? He's like, statistically, I have four aces, which means there is 0% chance of you beating me. And he's like, oh, interesting. There is one thing that can beat four aces. And they're like, what? And he just releases four aces. And he's like, what? He's like, Five Aces, and then all the robots go cheating, cheating,
and then they go
they just overload.
All right,
okay, I like okay. We clearly is a gambler. We have this Mos Eisley sort of like thing, this riff going with him in terms of how we meet him, right?
Can I also? I want to throw an idea.
Okay,
can we? Because like this is another one of my favorite things is fucking cliche badass Han Solo intro scenes, right?
Yeah.
It's always like he's in the. So my thing was, if we're gonna go to three different timelines, can we do three separate Johnny Five Aces intro scenes? Like in one
each time, it's
in
the same
one
thing.
It's the gambler, and then the other one it's the fucking he's shirtless in a bare knuckle boxing ring.
Yeah.
That's very good. Let's talk about Johnny Five Aces. I think this is important.
Yeah, we gotta ground this thing. And so, I mean, this is all very fun, but we have a serious job to do here.
Yeah, we gotta live up to this.
Okay.
Who is Johnny Five Aces?
So he's in City 005, is I believe the name of this. City 5 is the thing, and okay. So there's just this city. We don't really know anything about it other than there is separate districts. So Johnny is this operator in this city. So, like, my question is he a professional gambler? Is he a thief? Is he some sort of private investigator? Like, you could always do that he's a PI. Like, that seems like a classic way to get somebody into a story, right?
Was he, like, ex-military police?
Oh, he used to be a bodyguard or something like that.
I like
he used to live in Uptown, and then he took a right turn, and now he lives in the slums.
I like the thief angle because it gives you a little bit of a conflict where it's like he steals stuff, but now the one thing that's landed in his lap is the thing that everyone's trying to steal from him, right? Like the thief getting stolen from is a fun little, you know, dynamic.
I like the idea that if he was in the military or something dangerous like a cop, it's like he kept surviving. Like he was in like a really horrific like war.
Oh, he was in the cyber war.
And yes, and he kept I say that as if that's just a thing I know. Yes, the cyber war, Freddy. And then
I think you mean the steam war?
The steam war.
The steam
war. Where
they
fire the first steam power. I just like the idea that he keeps barely like he was like in four different campaigns where like everybody died but him.
So
like,
he's
how
like
did he
lucky.
Keep surviving? They're like, I don't know, man, Johnny, you always just seem to have a fifth ace up your sleeve. And like that was like his name back then.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And then he got so disillusioned and cynical because the world is so awful. And like, you know, it's essentially the beginning of Firefly.
Yeah, I was gonna say he sounds a lot like a certain Mr. Mal Reynolds.
I just pitched Firefly. But with a cooler name than Malcolm Reynolds.
Malcolm Reynolds.
25 aces.
As far as an inciting incident goes, this clock stumbling into Johnny's lap feels like a thing, right?
Yes.
And he's like, what the fuck do I do with this thing, right?
And everyone's after
and
it.
And now everyone's after it.
Yes.
So there's, you know, so who's
but
everyone?
And also really quick, he needs a reason not to just give it away, right? Like if he was the street smart, five ace having savvy thief that we're saying that he is, if everyone, like, if you get a thing and everyone, that's a diamond, everyone's after it. At a certain point, you're like, it's not worth it. I'm here. Just have it, right? So he needs to have a reason to hang on to it.
Well, I think at first he's looking for, like, the biggest buyer.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I have an idea. I think Schultz is the first guy that Johnny takes the clock to try to figure out what it is.
Yeah. Schultz feels like the kind of, like.
So you would do that. Schultz is this dweeby guy who he's like a clock repairman. right? Okay. Yeah, and he with a
was
passion,
it an antique shop. An antique
you know, he
shop.
Spends all his time watching. He spends his whole life watching the seconds tick by, but he never goes out of his shop to see the world and live his life, right? Like, so he's this timid, goofy dude, right? And so then he and Johnny start tinkering around with the Zyborn clock and discover a shocking secret about it, like a message, an image they don't understand, right? And then just at that moment, the steam cops kick down the door, and Johnny's got to run out the back way, and then he gets cornered, right? And you think, oh no, Johnny's done for, and then bonk, the guy falls over, and who's standing behind him but Schultz with his camera, and he's like, I'm coming with you, Johnny, five aces on your adventure. I will seize the world, and he's like, yeah, whatever, don't slow me down. And it's like, you start, like, your kind of love-hate relationship, like your sidekick kind of thing. And then you can do Schultz dying at the low point, and Schultz gets saved, because Schultz is like a really nice, it's like the classic, like, Schultz is gonna be the one who teaches Johnny about, like, you know, being a good friend and stuff like that.
Depending if they go back in time, or if they, like, can see, or maybe the Zyborn clock can, like, show you other timelines. I imagine there's, like, a timeline where Schultz sees, like, if he just took that step, like, he regrets, like, not, like, going after a woman back in the day, and he sees his future time, he sees a timeline where he did, and he's like, look at the man I could have been.
Oh my God.
I could have been you, Johnny Five Faces.
I could have been as cool and radical and rude as you.
Johnny takes a big old drag from a cigarette. He's like, no one's cool as me.
Is Johnny Five Faces kind of, is this a little bit like, can you do this a little bit like Big Trouble in Little China? Can Johnny Five Aces be pretty self-interested throughout this and borderline an antagonist to the actual story, but they kind of need him, but it's almost like
Matt, the answer to the question, can you do this like Big Trouble in Little China, is always yes. So yes, we absolutely can.
Because there's a version where it's like he just is constantly looking to sell this thing, no matter how much he's playing along with Dirk McLaren, and like every place they go, it's like he's very much like.
Well, except you get. Although I will say this, like, people misunderstand Big Trouble. Like, oh my God, why Jack Burton?
Yeah.
He's like, he gets involved in the adventure. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, like, it starts with, I just want my truck back. But like, Kim Cattrall gets kidnapped. The other girl gets kidnapped. Like, he's along trying to figure out what's going on. He's just an idiot. Like, he's just a bumbling hero who's not helping.
Well, he just cares about, I mean, what he cares about is the way he looks. I mean, that's why it starts with him giving monologues, his own sayings.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he cares about, kind of being the smart one.
But he is like brave and two-fisted, and like, he goes in.
And he jumps in
a,
and fights.
He's
the
a real dum-dum. Okay. Johnny wins the thing in a poker match, right? God help me. We're in timeline two? Is that the idea?
Let's just assume
is this all in timeline one?
Let's say it's timeline two, because if we don't need to go to timeline one, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, then we got timeline one to go back to.
Okay.
We're in timeline two.
Okay, so, I have the theme.
Okay.
I think I understand what to do.
Okay.
I think I get it. Okay. Is you do that the idea is that, so here's what's interesting about the Zyborn clock, is that the idea is, right, that you're like, oh, this world we're in sucks. I want to make the world a better one, and I'm willing to erase our world to do it. It's a classic bad guy kind of thing, right? We screwed up. We need to go back and do it over again.
House of the clock in its walls.
He sends the clock, Dr. Zyborn, the creator of the clock, sends the clock back in time to change the course of humanity for the better, right? Mm-hmm. But all he does is, all he ultimately winds up doing is pressing fast forward on
Where humanity,
we have, you know, steam zeppelins in the year 2000, and, you know, like, it's all wacky and whatever, but it's like, people are just as cutthroat as ever, right?
Yeah.
And then you maybe do in this timeline, someone is trying to use the Zyborn clock for that purpose.
Yeah.
Right? And then that's what they're chasing down. It's this doomsday cult that wants to wipe away the thing and start afresh or whatever. And so then the theme winds up being like, you got to move forward. You got to, like, accept humanity for what it is and try to build. You can't go back in time and fix it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to face the world the way it is.
You can't just keep pushing those balls off the cliff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to get my head around. I feel like we have two different openings. So let's just decide. Because if it's like he wins this, I'm like, what happened to McLaren? And then, like, he would meet up McLaren again. And then it's like, why didn't McLaren lose it? So, like, what's the... Here's what I was trying to get at the beginning was, like, I can get that it's a classic. It is like every Hitchcock, like, Nazi thriller. It's like somebody involved with the bad guys knows something, like something finally pushes their moral buttons and they run away. And they need to find a hero in the midst of a world that has no heroes. So it is like,
okay,
it is Dirk McLaren, if he is one of these scientists who didn't believe this guy with the Zyborn clock, mm-hmm. it's like he knows what's being done and how dangerous it is, and he steals it and runs away.
Okay.
And then I'm like, okay, I get, like, at least I, like, understand, like, this is something that seems like, you don't understand what this can do or whatever it is. And, you know, Giant Five Ace is just like, yeah, it looks like a big old gold clock that's probably worth a lot of money or whatever at the beginning.
Yeah. And maybe, okay, so...
And then you also have, like, a clear bad guy. I mean, whether or not Zyborn, whoever, but it's the people who made or understood. Like, and they could have made it or they could have just understood what this thing does. But there's the people who want to reset the world. And McLaren ran away.
Yeah, he's part of that bad guy crew. And
again, you could make him, like, he doesn't have to be a scientist. He could have just been, like, a janitor that overheard it, or just, like, a blue-collar everyman.
And okay, so...
It's true, because as we meet him in the prelude, he is weary.
He's been running for a while. You have... It's kind of like a Tomorrowland thing. Like, you have this arrogant cult of scientists, right? That think they know it's those dumb scientists with their doomsaying and their whatever, right? This is gonna be an anti-science movie because fuck it. They are like, you know, we gotta start over, right? It's the only way to sit, like, you know, like we're running out of steam or whatever.
Nice.
There's some super element that's gonna whatever, and they're like, you know, we gotta reset the timeline, right? And the idea is, like, you send this thing back in time and it erases the current timeline. This timeline falls off the cliff, as it were. And then you do, like, maybe these scientists will be preserved, because I think that was part of something that was in there. At any rate, oh, that's actually really cool. Hold on. Okay, so if I remember my Zyborn lore, I'm going to try to understand it.
Okay.
When the object, in this case, the Zyborn clock, enters the time stream, time begins to correct itself, right? So then now, all right, I don't remember. I don't understand this at all. Okay, what I was going to say, though, is, like, what if you do this cult of, like, this, they are, like, they've survived, like, four or five different timelines. They keep trying to get it right and tinker with their experiment to, like, fix humanity, essentially, right? To evolve humanity past its wars. So, like, do you know what I mean? So, like, you run into somebody and they're, like, from timeline, we're on, like, timeline 7 or something like that.
Yes.
And so there's, like, this, they're almost like an elder race at this. They've seen so many versions of humanity rise and fall.
And we keep falling into infighting and
war. Yeah, because from their perspective is that, yes, every fucking time humanity winds up blowing itself up and, like, you know, destroying itself.
Yeah.
And so they keep resetting the clock. And every time they do, they're able to accelerate it. So, like, again, the humanity is getting more and more advanced every time before they destroy themselves. And their idea is that at some point, if we do it fast enough, they will evolve beyond war. And, like, we have to do this for the preservation of the species.
You know what it is? The Zyborn clock is the one thing that would, because the timeline resets. So it's not like there's no group of people that are, like, consistent from timeline to timeline unless they find a way to travel away with me. It's like, I think what it is that the Zyborn clock is the one, the Zyborn clock holds the information from the other timelines, because the Zyborn clock doesn't reset. It is permanent through all the timelines. So what happens is eventually somebody solves the mystery of the Zyborn clock. They learn the mystery. They learn that there's multiple timelines. They understand what they need to do. So it's like an inevitability thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, essentially, it is like science. It's like, at a certain point, you're going to discover the atom bomb. At a certain point, they're going to figure out how the Zyborn,
clock
works. And then they're going to be like, we should reset.
Well, you know, but it's two things. So what happens? Here's what happens, right?
Interesting.
So the Zyborn clock has, essentially, it's super simple.
Mm-hmm.
Time works the same way. The Zyborn clock is a time machine that contains all the some knowledge of humanity at that given time, right? And then you send it back in time to the start of humanity, and then they've got it. Like,
they will stumble upon it.
They will figure out how to unlock it. And you'll say it takes 50 years for them to figure out how to unlock it. Suddenly, they are gifted knowledge. Again, like, you know, like, imagine this is the year 10,000 when this happens, and they send it back to the year 2000 or the year 1800, right? Like, at the dawn of the age of reason, right? And then someone uncorks this thing, and it ushers in a whole era of technological revolution because they have all these secrets and stuff. That's how you wind That's how you wind up with steampunk, essentially.
It's humanity,
right?
Trying to help itself out.
So now humanity is trying to help itself out, but, like, at the same time, you do also, like, the person, the guy who is obsessed with studying the Zyborn clock, these scientists who are uncovering its secrets, also realize what this object is doing here, which was that the whole other timeline got erased when they sent it back.
God.
And they realize that they're hurtling towards the same oblivion. They need to do it again. And
yeah,
if
that's
we
the,
keep doing
that's
this,
the,
eventually okay. we will learn.
Here's what it is. They realize.
We just figured out the Zyborn clock.
This is what it is. They realize. Okay. Yeah, Will. They realize that's, like, their only duty. It's like we've unlocked all this knowledge, but it's like, but we too are on the path of destruction. We must send this back. That is the goal. We must send this back to so that humanity can once again in another timeline try and do this.
But it's always
what they didn't have is Johnny Five Aces.
Okay, this is maybe this is dumb, but I'm getting emotional about this. Okay, this is because yes, the idea it's kind of like the Doctor Who with the Big Bang, the season five finale. But it's like yes, the Zyborn clock is all of humanity's like. Knowledge, and then if you send it back in time, you're essentially just constantly starting over again with more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So humanity starts accelerating, but it's a misguided principle because if it was broken in the first place, just getting there faster is not going to fix it.
Yeah,
winding
the gears just doesn't fix the broken
Johnny,
machine.
So I feel like Johnny does not like Schultz is like the nicest dude on the planet. I would do mm-hmm. Schultz is like pure good. Like he is just a gentleman. He is just a good person. He lost like his family or whatever it is. Like he's just trying to do the right thing, and that's why you kind of get this back and forth between Johnny and Schultz. I would do. He's definitely like he thinks it's important for humanity to like know what's going on. That's why he's taking pictures. But I don't know if we need to do that. He like. Anyways, what I was getting to is what it should happen is at the end when it seems like all's lost, Schultz is dying, and Johnny saves Schultz by filling the Zyborn clock with just Schultz itself. So the world starts over with Schultz, the only he's like all the knowledge that the world has contained is nothing compared to your beautiful mind, my best friend.
And they're like, Johnny, no, and he's like all of humanity's greatest scientific achievements, and he just flicks them off.
Oh my God.
Kaboom! And then he sends Schultz back, one man, pure of heart.
Yeah, he's like, looks like you're the only one that's gonna make it out of this one, buddy. And he closes the clock and he fucking skydives out of there and he throws the Zyber clock in and the world starts
and Schultz goes like, one last picture to remember you by
and then the world starts over with just goodness in his heart mm-hmm. and it's like a utopia or whatever. It's just man
oh it's that
is
that
it resets it
it's just that thematically it's not about how we
and
can't
Schultz's name was Jesus Christ.
Well yeah, so it becomes so it's about it's not about outthinking our base desires.
Yeah.
It's changing who we are by finding someone. It's not about being like, what great scientific advancements could we find to send ourselves back? It's like, no, who among us has evolved past war? Not how have we
figured
out.
Who among us should we look up to? Who should we be like? And the answer, of course, is Schultz.
It's Schultz. This
kind little
who just wants to capture the beauty of the world.
Yes,
right?
He wants to capture the beauty.
And I like that he's a tinkerer. Again, like he watches, he fixes clocks, he fixes cameras, but he spends his whole life, like again, he hasn't gone on this adventure yet. He hasn't truly seen humanity. But then like, Johnny at the beginning of this thing is like, you're better off staying in that fucking clock shop because the world outside is hell, right? But Schultz never gives up on the beauty of the world. They go out and see things, and he's even in the midst of hell, he's fine. He's taking photos and he's giving water to dying orphans, and he's, you know, like he's this beautiful soul.
Yes.
And like he is even able to move a heartless bastard like Johnny Five Aces. And you know, Johnny's like, if you could get me to give up my fifth ace, I think you're what we need to send back.
Exactly. And send Schultz back. Okay.
All right. That's a movie, guys.
That's a great ending.
That's pretty good.
That clock is ticking. If we should lay out the structure.
Yeah, that's
right. Who is message to girl?
Schultz's daughter.
I don't. What is that? I gasped like that meant something, I don't know.
It's like he needs to send a message back because there's one timeline where the clock is destroyed. Right? There's definitely. Here's what it is. There's definitely a group of people being like, "This is unnatural. Like we are. You know, who knows what this tech is? We need to destroy it." So that's, you know, one of the timelines says that, you know, the clock gets destroyed. But then there's something. It's like, oh, shit, there's got to be something.
Well, yeah, I think your turn into act four is I think the clock is destroyed.
Okay.
And then you think it's over. But then if I were to suggest, again, my crazy turn. Oh, this is going to be my other crazy turn idea. bear with me. This is a little hard to swallow. Johnny Five Aces is Zyborn. So what it is that. Rather than like the war making him cynical, Johnny Five, like Cyborn is this guy who's kept trying to fix the world, right? He kept trying to, he built this clock. and over the thousand times, it would be like, this is a timeline 4. This is timeline 6,000. I've been trying this. My entire life has been this. And eventually, he just gave up. And who is Johnny Five Aces other than somebody who doesn't fucking believe that you can fix anything?
Pure nihilism.
Yeah, because he's like, who gives a shit? Like,
so and, does he know?
No, I don't think he knows. In fact, it would be like Zyborn. That would be the message on the fifth ace, is the realization that, like, it is you. Which I don't know quite what that does. No, it'd be like Zyborn, like, decides to give up and this timeline's just going to run the way that it is. Like, he erases his own memory or whatever. That's pretty dumb.
I like them. I like him sending Schultz back. I'm trying to figure out how. Okay, this is my other dumb thing. Is do you do, like, there's some magic girl who can, you know, like, when people that they can, like, you know, pick up something you've owned and sense your memory or whatever.
Oh,
like, maybe Schultz dies too, but before he does, Johnny gives him as a final gift his fifth ace, and then Schultz takes the ace and throws it in to the thing, and then that ace gets sucked back in time, and then the little girl finds it, and she picks it up, and she's like, Schultz, and then the movie ends.
Here's I don't, this is very confusing and hard. I think what, it, in terms of the, okay, if you look, if you two gentlemen will go ahead and look at this canon timeline for a second.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Ignore the numbers of 1, 2, and 3, but I think we are in timeline 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
we are in the clock goes here, Silas destroys here timeline.
Yes. So the end, again, this is your twist. It gets to the point where they destroy the clock, so all is lost. But it's not, because a message was sent, which brings us into the next timeline. In this timeline, Johnny Fivus is going to make the right decision, which is to put Schultz in the clock. The clock's not destroyed. The clock is sent back with the goodness of humanity in it.
So it's essentially, yes. So, like, it is a classic, like, end of act two.
Yeah.
The universe ends, essentially, yeah, right? But then...
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then, oh, shit, we're back. What happened? And then it's like, is Johnny going to figure out how to solve it this
yes.
time? Okay,
yes.
Yes. Okay.
This is essentially the Prisoner of Azkaban structure. It's, yes, he gets his soul sucked out, and, oh, wait, no, they went back in time. Are they going to be able to do it this time?
Mm-hmm.
And luckily they can, because somebody sent a message to girl.
Message to girl.
I like, by the way, by the fucking way, can we just talk about that there's, like, Johnny Five Aces and Schultz and Silas and Dirk Vandermeer or whatever, and then there's girl. The only female character mentioned by name in the fucking Zyborn clock lore is girl.
There's actually two girls.
Well, no, there's
there's girl, and then there's
robot girl who's not
who screams. Look, Zyborn clock has its own problematic issues.
Zyborn clock in its own way is like this perfect metaphor for the something awful forms, because it is both once terrible and hilarious and, you know, mean-spirited, but also beautiful and earnest. Like, it is like, it is the heart. It, at the heart of every goon beats a Zyborn clock.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so who's girl? I think you need to figure out who girl is. And let's give girl a name.
Do you want to get a name from the story break vault?
Yeah.
We'll do Marla. Marla Mowbray. Thank you so much.
Marla Mowbray.
Thank you for...
That sounds kind of steampunky.
Yeah, Marla Mowbray.
Thank you for lending us your steampunk name to the
Zyborn
clock.
Could she be Marla Cogsworth Mowbray Gearworks the Fifth?
Marla Gearworks Mowbray.
And maybe she's like a plucky street urchin that Johnny affectionately calls Sprocket. Or something like that. And she lives in the slums. She's got to live in the slums.
Just because it's steampunk doesn't mean everything has to be gear related.
1,000%. It's either got to be gear Steam. Or ace related.
Let's take what seems like a problem and make it a positive. I think in timeline 2, she is just girl. Because I would do that. It is something. It is a mistake. It is a mistake that Johnny Five Aces made in the beginning. It'd be like, right, it'd be like the Good Samaritan moment in like the Bible. It'd be like, this girl asks Johnny Five Aces for something. He's like, get out of here, girl.
Spare me 3 gearbucks.
Yes, and it is the embodiment of everything wrong with Johnny Five Aces.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, there's a message sent. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get to like this one decision changes the timeline. Like, if he with Schultz with him or whatever it is, this decision or this message that the girl has, this time he hears it. In fact, you would even do the thing where like, you freak out the audience that she says the message, even in the first timeline. Like, the movie starts with her saying something, and he's like, get out of here, girl! And then you come back, and she says it.
But no, because she's changed, the timeline has changed. That ball has fallen off the cliff, my friend.
Shit.
That ball's on the at bottom of the cliff.
I think it's, like, save Schultz, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, save Schultz.
But she gives him the card. Do you know what I mean? Because that's the thing. Like, she has it. Because
he wouldn't pay attention unless he saw one of his signature five aces.
Yeah. Well, would you go back in timeline three and he's Johnny Four Aces?
I don't know. I don't. If he's already Johnny Five Aces at the beginning, he would continue being.
But the timeline changes. The ball fell off the cliff, Will, as we were just talking about.
But at what point was the object sent back to the timeline? That's the real question.
Oh, okay. This is different because the clock was destroyed.
Yeah.
So how is there even a third timeline?
I would imagine that when the clock is destroyed, there's some sort of vortex.
Yeah,
right?
they got to get a message
open,
out.
That rips open, and then you have a second to shoot a thing through it,
yeah.
Right? And so,
yeah, that's a good point, actually.
And it should be his fifth ace is definitely the coolest thing
yes,
for him to
absolutely
shoot through.
His ace.
A message on the back of his fifth ace is like, that's why he's got his
unless,
fifth
bear with me, unless Johnny dives in, and that's his shitty, selfish act, is he saves himself by jumping into the vortex, and then...
Oh.
Your third act is a two Johnny timeline.
Okay. What's nice about this, by the way, is that with the clock it's destroyed.
That would have made Solo better if there was two solos.
And it was called but duos.
But bear with me for a second.
Good,
imagine
Freddy.
Imagine a two Johnny timeline.
Yeah.
Imagine four Johnnies on the edge of a cliff. Imagine he jumps in at the end. He pushes everyone else out of the way and dives in to save himself. And then in this new timeline, he gets an external perspective on himself because he's watching his own past self's actions and seeing what a piece of shit he is.
We have a different idea of what he would do in the first moment.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. So like, let's walk back for a second. Let's walk back for a second. I feel like the girl should be a bigger part of the adventure. I feel like Marla Cogsworth, Gear Billingsley, Mulbray should be like, a slightly bigger character? Like, I don't, like, I'm trying to think. Like, the, or do you do, like, again, like, is there some kind of, like, you know, it's like the, I don't know. Like, it just feels like.
I feel like it is, like, she represents, and she will be, like, she's in the back. She represents what Johnny Five Aces should have done or been or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this time he's going to hear the message and take her along or whatever it is, and she helps him.
Okay. All right, let's start here, though. Let's start here. So let's walk through our movie,
yes.
Right? So we got our opening with,
Dirk.
With Dirk.
And we can make, if we wanted to, so it's not just a bunch of dudes, we can make Dirk a girl.
Yes, Dirk McLaurin. And Dirk is a gender-neutral name in this timeline. All right, so Dirk McLaurin, her day is going very badly.
Yeah.
And then she bumps into, she's getting chased down by the bad guys. And then through fate, she winds up with the same bar as Johnny Five Aces. So, and she has to hide the Zyborn clock? Is that the idea?
Yeah, that would not be bad. And she puts it in his pocket or whatever.
Yeah.
And then...
Wait, so or does he win it in a
yeah,
bet?
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's just, here's why it's tough to have Dirk be around, is because it feels like...
Then doesn't Dirk just explain what's going
right,
on?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, it feels like Johnny needs to come across this clock without understanding it, which is why he would take it to Schultz.
Yes, okay, yes, okay. He takes it to Schultz. So he's definitely got to take it to Schultz.
So Dirk, who we just made a girl, just dies right away. Sorry, we tried. So Dirk gets killed
or right? Captured, right? Like Dirk could be like the police are after, right? Like and then you know puts the clock into the poker game, gets arrested,
yes.
And we may intersect.
Yeah,
with
we'll
later.
Have somebody know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay.
Like, where did you get this clock?
So Johnny is in a poker game. He cheats and wins. He robs this person blind, right,
yes.
By cheating, right? And they're like, the only thing I've got left in me pocket is this clock what for? So here's what I think. I think Dirk puts the thing in the pocket of some random person. That random person then loses it to Johnny Five Aces. So
right.
This is how Dirk comes into the story. She is after the clock because she planted it on this person. And then she went to go hide,
right?
Yeah. And then once she gave, or she gets frisked, right, and she doesn't have it, right?
Right, right, right.
And then she goes back to that person she planted it on. He's like, oh, don't have it. What more, what say what you? Every time I do that, I'm like, some English person, like, someone's going to think that this is racist or something. I'm going to stop doing Cockney accents. I feel weird about it.
It's classist. For
it's
sure.
classist. It's I'm going to stop.
More than racist.
At any rate, she puts it on this person. They lose it to Johnny Five Aces. So now she's tracking down Johnny Five Aces. That seems like an angle that keeps her from being a damsel in distress or refrigerator stuffing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a fun angle. So then you do, and then Johnny Five Aces is this degenerate criminal. There's wanted posters up for him. Yeah. It's like, oh, great, this asshole's got it. Yeah, awesome, yeah, right? Yeah. So then now you have your trio, essentially. Because then you do, Johnny's like, I won this fucking clock. What the hell do I do with it? He takes it to Schultz. Schultz is like, it's a clock. I should just really stop with the accents.
No,
Schultz is like, this is the most, they uncork it, right?
Yeah.
They figure out and they see the timelines and they're like, whoa, this is some heavy duty shit. Like, you know, Schultz sees this past version of himself that had a beautiful life because he took risks or whatever, and he hasn't in this timeline for whatever reason. And then I guess in that version you would do, she kicks down the door to be like, where's my clock? And then the bad guys have been tailing her this whole time. So then they kick down the door.
Right.
Right. And so now the three of them are on Dirk. And
yeah, you'd probably get a little bit of like, you'd get a little bit of fun runtime. And like, I think the beginning of the adventure is Johnny Five Aces knows it's valuable, but doesn't know what it is yet. So he goes looking for the highest bidder. Him searching for the highest bidder is what makes her hear about it.
Can I? Okay. Yeah. So Dirk is running through the streets. She's debating. And she's like, who can I trust? Who do I put this with? There's this girl on the street, right? And she gives her the clock, right? She's like, keep, you know, you protect this clock or whatever, right? The girl is standing outside this bar. And her drunkard of a father is in the bar losing his shirt to Johnny Five Aces. Mm-hmm. And he's looking for more money to put in. And then he sees this clock and snatches it from the little girl and puts it on the table and loses it in the game, right? The girl in timeline 3 gets a message to tell Johnny Five Aces. She whispers, save Schultz, in his ear. But we don't hear it till the end of the movie. He's like, you know what that fucking girl told me? She told me to save you, Schultz, and she was right. So that's the girl. That's okay, the tipping point, right?
Okay. It's Marla.
Yes, Marla. Okay, so Dirk gives it to Marla.
Yes.
Marla, it's like we get to see how the hell of this steampunk slum, right?
Yeah.
Looking, and like she goes to find her dad, who's drunk at the bar. He takes the clock from her and bets it and loses it to this mysterious desperado with his fifth ace, right?
Yes.
And so then Johnny's got it. He and Schultz go find out what's going on. She winds up with them, and then we figure out what's going on, right? So
I think the fun of it is looking at this map. I think you go from the slums to uptown. Because again, I think you want to follow Johnny Five Aces. You know, I would do that. He's got, you know, money owed to Jabba the Hutt or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And he's got this opportunity, and he knows it's freaking valuable. So now him and Schultz got to dress up and head into the uptown to look for the big buyers, the military people,
Oh, that's where Dirk runs into them.
Because the word around uptown is like, hey, somebody's got this really valuable thing. All these people, like, you know, they've got all the clocks and steam they could possibly want, so they're always looking for that new
thing. And they're
like,
and now auction lot number 53, no ordinary device.
Yes.
The Zyborn clock.
And Dirk, and then, yes, Dirk is hearing. She hears about it, so she's like, that's where the clock went.
And then you do that fucking
moment. So it all comes together.
And then you do that fucking moment, Matt, like in MI2, where Johnny's on one side of the auction, and then Dirk is on the other, and they stare at each other like Thandie Newton and Ethan Hunt, and then, like, the flamenco dancers going between them. You're like, ooh, these two are going to have chemistry or whatever.
Ooh.
They kind of don't. Just like gross. All right. So, and then yes. Okay. So yes. Okay. This is very good. Okay. Johnny winds up with a clock.
Yes.
He and Schultz figure out what it is, and they're like, my God, like, this thing's amazing or whatever. And then maybe
this thing is old. Like, Schultz dates it. He's like, this is older than our entire world.
And then Johnny's like, so how much does that mean I can fucking sell it for or whatever? So then Johnny goes off to sell it at the auction in Uptown, right? So then I like that there's all these interested players. There's the scientist cult that needs it so they can destroy time itself, right? There's Dirk, who's trying to stop that from happening, and she's trying to figure out how to destroy it.
There's somebody in the military / castle district who's like, if we get this, we can destroy all of our enemies.
You have General King.
Yes, General King. That's
General
fitting.
King.
That's fitting.
General King.
King General.
General King, the King of Generals, wants to use the clock to destroy his enemies. You have the gangsters that Johnny Five Aces owes money to.
Yes.
And so you have this auction scene, and then it all turns to craziness, and then our three main characters meet, right? Because this is where they meet
and
Dirk.
And the end of that.
Because Dirk is going to steal it from the auction. They it's one of these. Like,
but the bad guys take it. It's one of those things where it all escalates. And then they lose the Zyborn clock, and now Johnny Five Aces is informed of how dangerous and what it actually does. And now the three of them, Schultz, Dirk, and Johnny, have to break into the castle military district in order to get the Zyborn clock.
Silas, the General King.
Silas, the General King. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah, so then you would do that. Yeah, they got
By the way, it feels like Marla's character should just be Dirk.
How about
Marla McLaurin? Yeah,
Marla Dirk. Like, Dirk is her name because she, like, Dirks people like a dagger, right?
Marla Dirk McLaurin, sure.
Mara Dirk Mulberry McLaurin.
Okay, now so that's yes, Marla's Dirk. Name.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, yeah, so but the message still goes to girl in the.
Then, yes, there's and then there's
slums.
Flower Girl.
Yeah,
you know,
flower
like
girl.
A,
yeah.
Like Eris in FF7.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, then they wind up on this rip-roaring, rootin' tootin' adventure that takes them all over town as they're looking for the
yes.
clock, right? And the clock has started ticking down to God knows what,
yes.
right? And so, yes, they're trying to... It's this race against time to stop the clock from wiping out their timeline,
yes.
right? But then it does wipe out their timeline at some point.
They kidnap... Silas kidnaps...
Schultz,
because Schultz is a clockmaker.
Schultz knows about the clock. Yeah.
There's something that's not working. They don't understand why they could. They're like, why did they kidnap Schultz? And he's like, I don't know. Schultz is a freaking loser. He's like a baby. He doesn't do anything. But he is the best clockmaker in town. She's like, the Zimmerman clock was broken. It's not working yet. We have time. We got to go stop them before they do it. So
okay.
that's the part of the
Here's thing. Or I was going to say this. You do your classic switcheroo. They mm-hmm. get your midpoint. They get the clock back,
mm-hmm.
but they lose Schultz. And Schultz, when he opened the clock, saw all of the knowledge within it.
Yeah.
Schultz is the Zimmerman clock now. Or like he has the secrets for them to build a new one, or maybe not. I don't know. Okay.
I like Schultz has this moment where, because again, Schultz is a good guy, where Schultz like opens up the clock. And again, I think Silas is using it. They're like, do you ever wish you could just start over, Schultz? Your life is how I know all about you. Like, if
oh,
he knows his tragic past.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get that moment where you think Schultz is going to do the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't. In fact, you think he does, but it's actually one of those things where he switched, like, he made his own. He made a fake Zyborn clock, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's like, yeah, he does some cool move, and they escape, and they save Schultz, but they can't because they're actually... Oh, Schultz is up in a freaking Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
So even when they save Schultz, the Zeppelin explodes, and they're all falling to their death.
Mm-hmm.
And then Johnny Five Aces makes the selfish call to the space. There's only enough... Like, he pushes everybody away. He's like, sorry, everybody, we tried. And he falls
Wait, I thought it was message to girl. I thought that was what goes back, is the fifth ace.
Okay, so yeah, then he throws the... So he doesn't make a selfish move at the end.
Huh?
I guess Johnny Five Aces wouldn't make a selfish move or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
No, that's fine. They're falling down, and they have this great conversation with Marla, Johnny Five Aces, and Schultz about like, well, I guess we're all gonna die. I guess this is the other world.
And this is all taking
new.
Place as they're falling. Yeah.
In that cool picture, and he's drinking a beer. He's like, guys, just drink a beer with me. Who cares? And they're like, no, there's just a look. The portal is still opening. There's something we could throw in there. It's like, what can we possibly throw in
something
there?
Something small, some kind of card. And he looks at the fifth ace in his hand.
Write
like,
something we
yes.
don't see what on the fifth ace and
yes.
he throws it in
yeah
and then
and then like, Johnny, what'd you write? It's like, I guess we'll find out. And then they all die. It's like,
in the most brutal yeah. like we see their bodies hit the ground.
Yeah.
In fact, you're like, oh, they're gonna hit the water. It's not gonna
so
be violent.
Does but. Their timeline, what's going on with the clock? Is it like the clock is going to go off and erase their timeline?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yes, and so then that happens, but they throw this message in. Like,
yes.
the clock has gone off.
Yes.
Like, that's the explosion on the ship.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, like the... And they've dived out, and now they've got 6 seconds left before their timeline is erased, because the
yeah.
clock is sucking in this vortex or whatever, and then he
yes.
flicks off his fucking...
And this time, and we don't really have that. I mean, this time, yes, he comes back, he finds out, saves Schultz. There's some selfish decision that he made that kind of started this, that then they don't.
Well, no, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Here's what you do, is that the card goes shooting back into the time vortex.
Yeah.
Jump out of the plane. You do. Marla has like a big steampunk sniper rifle, right? And
yeah.
then like they roll up his card and put it in there, and they shoot it through the fucking thing or whatever as she's falling. And then you do. It goes back in time.
Yeah.
You do. The little girl finds it, and then you do like it. Now it like it changes places with Johnny's fifth ace. Right.
Yeah.
So he sees this message, but he doesn't know what it means. Right?
Yes.
He's like, what the fuck? And then he unfurls it at the moment where he made the wrong choice before that led to the clock getting blown up.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever that is. Like
yeah.
he was like, man, fuck you, I don't want to die. Like, we're gonna save you. Like, he makes some bad call and the clock winds up blowing
yeah, yeah.
up. The clock winds up blowing up anyway. So now he has this moment and he realizes what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's his past self telling him like Schultz is the dude, right?
Yeah. Oh, you know what you do is because you're not gonna go through the whole thing. It would be that you would do the way that it changes again. We don't really know the whole movie, but the way that it changes, like rather than he does something selfish that gets Schultz kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
Schultz gets caught instead of him
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is. And this time it's like save Schultz. So he makes the decision and then, I don't know, you would do that. He gets, I don't know. It doesn't really, you don't want to go through the whole movie again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got to like come back at the crucial moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
But anyways, some
you know one of those
it changes, but then it ends up with him putting instead of blowing up the Zyborn clock, he puts Schultz's. He gets rid of all the acquired knowledge of humanity and just puts Schultz in inherent goodness. And they all fall, and instead of, they all fall to their death, one person who survives is Schultz, who goes back to the Zyborn Clock. The Zyborn Clock goes poof, and then we cut to
the Dawn of Man.
Dawn of Man.
And it's Schultz.
And it's Schultz.
And then all these cavemen are like, whoa. And he's like, it's okay, I am Schultz.
It's okay, I'm
Schultz. I will teach you how to treat each other well. Like all these, you do, it's literally 2001 A Space Odyssey, and all of these, like, these primordial people are about to bash each other's heads in with rocks, and then Schultz lands and he's like, we must all be good to each other.
And we'll clarify, to avoid some, Schultz isn't white.
Also, Schultz
that
isn't white.
Yeah, that would
also
be very Schultz important.
At the end. All right. I mean, I think that's something.
That's time.
That's a fun movie.
That's time. The Zyborn Clock. We've managed to do something with this little bit of internet ephemera.
I'm just shocked that we figured out how the four balls work.
I'm surprised.
And how the clock works. And I would actually not be surprised if that was pretty close to what it was originally.
I would be surprised, Will, because I don't think that much thought has ever been put into this.
I feel like if we had a little bit, you know what? I think we'll spend a little time on this and then go pitch it around because it's pretty good.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. And then when we come back, the trailer that everyone was looking for the Zyborn Clock.
I listen to Reading Glasses because Bria and Mallory have great tips.
My suggestion for book festivals is just go for one day.
I listen for the author interviews.
I was a huge Goosebumps fan.
Oh, yes.
R.L. Stine was totally my jam.
I don't even read. I just like their chemistry together.
Literally, if on the bag it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems. Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
And now, a Storybreak movie trailer.
Orange Fox and Dietrich, the golden egg has been located. I repeat, we got it. Over.
Little girl, take this clock. Guard it with your life, for it is no ordinary device.
Imagine four balls on the edge of a cliff.
My God, Johnny, this is no ordinary device.
I'm Dirk McLaren, Marla Dirk McLaren Mulberry. But you can call me Dirk, and I want that clock, Johnny.
Sorry, Toots. Johnny Five Aces only cares about one thing. His five aces and money.
Say a direct copy of the ball nearest the cliff is sent to the back of the line of the balls and takes the place of the first ball.
And now, lot number 55, no ordinary device, a toy, but a toy for adults, the Zyborn Clock.
That clock, I must have it for my uptown mansion.
I hear it destroys itself the second you buy it.
I hear it belongs to me, King General Silas of the Castle Military District.
The formerly first ball becomes the second.
Mein Gott! If King General Silas sends the Zyborn Clock back in time, it will create a new timeline, and our timeline will fall off the cliff of time!
Then it's time to kick some ass.
The second becomes the third.
You can't stop what's coming, Johnny Five Aces.
The Zeppelin, it's gonna explode!
Schultz! It turns out the fifth ace of us love.
And the fourth falls off the cliff.
I've never thought about the past or the future. I only think about the now. But now, I've got to think about the future to save the past.
So, what are you going to do?
I'm going all in.
Time works the same way in the Zyborn Clock. Coming next, or last, or maybe this summer, to a timeline near you.
There it is, the Zyborn Clock. I can't believe we actually cracked. I can't believe we actually cracked it. Is there, you know what? And when they write the history books of the internet, they're going to put us right there. They're going to say, these are the boys that cracked the Zyborn Clock, the most inscrutable fan-made piece of whatever from some forum.
They will truly say, this was no ordinary podcast.
Only time will tell, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us here on yet another episode of Story Break. William. What have we on the fan art front?
We have a very cool Bowsette poster from Jesse Sawyer this week, who did a really wonderful piece of Bowsette art. So thank you to Jesse. That is up on
our that thing, the social media with the little bird, Twitter. We're on Twitter with that. So go check that out. It's a really wonderful, cute little piece of art of Bowsette. It's very cool. I like it quite a bit.
So that that Twitter is at RJ Storybreak. Same place for the Facebook page. If you want to head on over there, you can see the fan art. You can see all kinds of updates, I guess.
Just posted the trailer for the Friends movie. So go ahead and listen to that again.
Yeah,
we're going to start putting some like cool secret stuff on that Facebook page soon too.
Let's get in there because you know we got real lives as Hollywood professionals, as you know from the top of the podcast. So maybe we put some things in there. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, thank you again to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing and now voicing some of these trailers bits as well.
Cameron did a pretty passable Marla Mulberry Dirk McLaren. I think he says Mulberry in the thing. Sorry, Marlo, if we got your last name.
Sorry,
wrong.
It's Cam's fault. You can actually email him with your complaint at Cameron Covell did your voice and name wrong at gmail.com.
Anyway, Marlo Mowbray, thank you for lending your name to the Story Break Twitter. We are looking in the, we're looking a little thin on the names list. So if you tweet us your names at RJ Story Break, we'll put them on the spreadsheet that I have here on my laptop and we throw them in as we need names from time to time. So perhaps hear yourself immortalized in one of these. Thank you to Maximum Fun. .org for having us on their podcast network. MaximumFun.org, home of all kinds of great other podcasts. Head on over there. Check them out.
Home of the podcast.
It's where the podcast was invented.
Maximum Indeed. Fun's original, all-famous, world-renowned podcast.
Maximum Indeed. Fun, characters matter here.
Characters matter here, Maximum
we
Fun.
We know podcasts.
It's not podcasts, it's Maximum Fun.
That's pretty good. And on that note, thank you to all of you out there listening for joining us for yet another week, and we hope to see you next week. So,
can I start at this time since Matt called me out for always ending them?
Yeah, okay.
This
ain't
the mama's
pasta
that is
tasty
like Zyborn clocks. I ended it again, yes!
Still got it.
Hey everybody, this is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Fact Yourself, a live game show here in the Maximum Fun Network. On Go Fact Yourself, we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb.
Oh, by the way, how much do you know about chicken husbandry?
You gotta give them that grain.
All right.
Gotta give them that grain.
And then smart again.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cleveland Indians became the first active player to enlist?
Bob Feller.
Okay.
We've got me, co-host Helen Hong, plus celebrity guests and actual surprise experts.
All right, we have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure.
Is it Alan Havey?
Helen, who do we have tonight?
Alan Havey!
Alan Havey!
In the coming weeks, you can hear guests like Maria Bamford, Tom Bergeron, Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Grant Imahara. Check us out on the first and third Friday of every month here on the Maximum Fun Network.